Numerous leeches had attached to his torsos and his legs. His first instinct was to do what? Scrape and grab them off, right? But his guide told him, no, don't do it. It says, if you do, you leave tiny pieces of the leeches in the area that they bit into, and they'd be under the skin, and they would cause a serious infection. He said the best way to get rid of the leeches, the guide advised, was to bathe in warm balsam salts for a few minutes, or put salt on. That's another one. I've heard of heat as well. Burn them off, and they usually fall off, right? And, of course, this soaking would cause the leeches to soon fall off that were holding onto the man's body. That's what you do with them. I haven't had the privilege yet. Maybe someday I will. But I'm not waiting for that moment. And we use them for fishing as well. Some of us use fishing as well, so they have some purpose. And medical reasons as well. They use them in the medical society as well for certain reasons as well. When you or I have been significantly offended by another person, we simply cannot yank the fence from ourselves and expect all bitterness, all malice, and emotions will be gone. Resentment or revenge may still hide under the surface. It seems to always be there. You think you've dealt with the issue, and then all of a sudden, a little while later, it arises again, and you've got to deal with it once more. The only way to become truly free of the offense and to forgive others is to bathe in the soothing bath of God's forgiveness of yourself. First, and then go. When we finally fathom the extent of God's love in Jesus, forgiveness of others should be just a natural outflow of our Christian life. So whatever happened, all of us probably have asked at least once, how much should I forgive? How much? That question has been around for a long time. In fact, Peter asked it of Jesus, and always love Peter. You read in the New Testament and the Gospels about the stories of Jesus, you always have one person really getting to the points, and that is Peter. I think of all the disciples, Peter really went at Jesus more than once. And he always got a response. Maybe not the one he wanted, but he got something. And of course, the passage has been read from Matthew 18 through 21, so we're going to look at Jesus' answer to Peter's question and the parable he gave in regards to forgiveness. So let's begin by noticing, first of all, forgiveness has no limitations. No limitations. If we look at Peter's questions, how much should I forgive? In fact, in verse 21, Peter comes to Jesus and he asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? When he sins against me, up to seven times? He's asking a pretty good question. I have no idea why Peter asked the question, but my mind always plays with me when I'm reading the stories in the gospel. Why did they do this? Why did they ask? What was the reasoning behind it? I have a few things that he may have caused him to ask that question. Peter was married, right? We all know that. Okay. Maybe his wife burnt his eggs that morning. I don't know. We know that Peter had kids as well. Probably one of his kids lift him off. We know that the apostles from time to time, the disciples, one time they got together, and when they did, there was always conflict with them. Maybe one of them just got under his skin too much. We may laugh at these such statements, but every day you and I face forgiveness issues over very simple issues. All of us do. All of us do. How many of you have been in the grocery store not paying attention to run somebody over? We all do. And what do? We ask for forgiveness, right? And forgiveness is usually received right away. But if forgiveness is not forgiven, has been given, the issue just disappears right away. If no forgiveness, the issue, what happens? It gets bigger and gets bigger. Next thing you know, hurt multiplies. And if it's involving a relationship begins to struggle, and it can be broken. And that is why forgiveness is so important. And let's go back to Peter's question. It was taught that a Jew should forgive those who offended them 3 times. And I think what Peter was trying to do was to be generous. After all, 7 is the perfect number. What Peter really did was put limitations on forgiveness. And you and I do the same today. You and I do the same today. And to put limitations on forgiveness, I believe, really shows no spirit of forgiveness. Basically just only lip service. Just want to kind of get it over with and done with. Cover it up and leave. In fact, God doesn't like that. God wants us to deal with it immediately or as soon as possible. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:5, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's what God wants. He wants us not to be proud. He wants us to be humble and ask forgiveness and deal with the issues in our lives. Limitations are put into place not only because there's pride in our hearts, but there is a stubborn unwillingness to deal with the issue. You know, forgiveness is messy. How many can agree with me on that? It's messy. Some of us also say it's really nothing at all. It's no real big deal. What are we really doing? Just trying to cover it up. Or we say to the other, we say to ourselves, you know what? Let them stew. Let them suffer. Let them sweat it out. I don't think you've actually said that. Even thought it. I think all of us from time to time, have we not? I think these actions and thoughts really show that we put limitations on forgiveness. It's a deliberate choice to continue in unforgiveness. It shows we're not sufficiently grateful for God's forgiveness of our own sins. Now let's look at Jesus' response. The answer Jesus gives, of course, is no limitations. In verse 22, Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, his answer is not to be taken literally. What is 70 times 70? Anybody know? For what? 490. Did you break your little calculator and figure it out? Okay, good, good. That's a lot, isn't it? Could you imagine forgiving someone 490 times? What Jesus is really teaching is that the spirit of forgiveness really knows no boundaries and no limitations. Something I believe Peter did not want to hear. But Jesus tells us something that is not natural to us, but something that is supernatural. Totally forgiving people for the wrong they do to us is something that God gives to us. We're not even to keep track of how many times we forgive someone. And like I said, there are times you figured you have dealt with the issue and it's been dealt with. But what's happened? Something happens and all of a sudden that all that comes to the surface again and you've got to deal with it again. Forgiveness is serious business. It's not optional. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not easy. And no one ever said it would be. And these words spoken by Jesus are amazing when you consider that in the days to come, Jesus would forgive those who nailed him to the cross. No limitations on forgiveness. In fact, in Luke 28:34, Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Can you imagine that? Here's a thought. What if God placed limitations on his forgiveness towards us? What if he says, well, I'll forgive these sins, but I won't forgive these ones. I might forgive this one, but not that one. So to reinforce this point, Jesus proceeds to tell the parable about the unforgiving servant, which tells us that those who do not forgive are not forgiven. And I'm going to just read the 4 verses from that passage from Matthew 18. Of course, this is talking about a king who's finally making some debts and correcting things that are in his kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. and he began the settlement. The man owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all they had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. So the king showed mercy to this servant by canceling this huge debt. Now, how large an amount was 10,000 talents? Anybody know? Some of you had Bibles that have little commentaries on the bottom that might tell you. From my studies, a talent weighs about 75 to 80 pounds. Okay? Think about it in today's economy, if that was gold. That's a large sum of money. In fact, it would be several trillion dollars in our present economy. That's a lot of money that this guy owed. But the mercy of the king goes beyond the actual request. The request was for patience to pay the debt, not forgiveness. Yet the king was willing to forgive the debt entirely. Done with. And we find in verses 28 of 30 of our passage, "But when that servant went out, after he has forgiven his debt, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denaro. What does he do? He grabs him and began to what? Choke him. And he says, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." The servant who that was forgiven in turn refused to forgive a fellow servant's small debt. So how much was 100 denaro? It was like it was said that was read this morning, it was a couple grand. Yet this unforgiving servant refused to listen to the same plea made earlier by himself. Verses 31 to 34, we read, "When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." So we saw the result of what happened. And when the master brought him before himself, not only did he have to bring his family and everything he had to sell, his possessions and everything, but he was handed over to be what? Tortured. Tortured. I think the point is that if we do not forgive, we'll end up being worse off than the person who needs our forgiveness. If we fail to forgive, we'll end up in our own spiritual prison, being tortured by what we have not done. Now let's look at the lesson of the parable. We find that in verse 35. "This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Troubling words to consider. Failing to forgive will bring some form of discipline. And Jesus is clear about forgiveness. Is he not? There are no limits on how much we should forgive. In fact, it has been said, prompted by gratitude, the forgiven sinner must always yearn to forgive whatever has trespassed against them. Forgiveness. Serious business. We can also draw some lessons from forgiveness as well. First of all, we are all God's debtors. All of us are. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For we all have sinned and fall what? Short of the glory of God." Another one is, none of us are able to pay what is owed, especially when it comes to God. But by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, our debts, which we owe, is paid in full. Another lesson, Only those who are willing to forgive others can be assured that they are indeed forgiven. We forgive others because we ourselves have been so graciously forgiven. We see the vast contrast between our sins against God and the offense of others against us. And we should realize that by receiving God's forgiveness through Jesus, we forfeit the right to be offended when others hurt us. Another lesson, it should be easy to forgive others. For what we owe God is infinitely more than what others owe us. Of course, let's be honest with ourselves. Tough lessons to learn in forgiveness and to accept as well. Because there's this part of us that just wants to scream out and say, that's not fair. Nice idea, but you do not understand my situation or what I'm going through. And you don't know what they did to me. Or you don't know what they did to my spouse or my children. It's not fair. Why do I have to forgive? But Jesus says we are to forgive. But he never said it would be easy. Remember, he took the lead and provided the perfect example while he was dying on the cross. Forgiveness is tough work. The hurt runs deep. Emotions are strong. And that's the reason why we hesitate. And that's why we put limitations on forgiveness. However, let's remember that the unforgiving child of God, as we read in this passage, must face God. Especially if we refuse not to forgive. Matthew 18:35 says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And perhaps the most important lesson we can learn from this parable is that the church is filled with people who are both forgiven and forgiving. We who have received mercy are to be merciful. James 2:13 says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Simply put, if we show no mercy or compassion, the error of forgiveness towards others, it demonstrates that we have never really responded to God's great mercy. When our life is characterized by mercy and compassion in the area of forgiveness, it gives genuine evidence of having received God's mercy and forgiveness. See how important it is to forgive? Now let's look at the need for forgiveness, because forgiveness is universal. Find this in Matthew chapter 6. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven others. For if you forgive someone when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Forgiveness involves God. Forgive us our debts. To speak these words, whether in thought or speech, reveals that we are admitting something wrong. Many of us do not see ourselves as debtors, trespassers, sinners, or offenders. We do not consider ourselves actually guilty before God. Yet as Christians, we need God's constant forgiveness for the wrongdoings we continue to commit every day. We are to pray, forgive us our debts. And I don't think every one of us here as Christians should live a single day or a single hour without praying these words. We all need God's forgiveness. Remember that God's forgiveness rests upon our forgiveness of others. And also, I think forgiveness involves ourselves. How many of us have said these words? I can forgive others, but I can never, ever forgive what I have done. I know God forgives me, but can I forgive myself? It's tough to think about. Consider the story of Joseph and his brothers. You find that in Genesis. What did they do to Joseph? Well, they threw him in a pit. And they took his clothes, right? killed a lamb or sheep, soaked it in blood, sold them off to some traders, and he took the coat home and said, look, Dad, this is what happened to Joseph. For 22 years, they had no idea where he was. Could you imagine the torment in their lives? They could not turn the clock back or take back what they had done. But when they met Joseph, after all those years, what did Joseph do? He forgave them. He forgave them. See, the person who hasn't forgiven themselves is always an unhappy person. There's always this turmoil in their life. There's always something there that's turning things up. And is usually unable to forgive. And is usually unable to forgive others. And if we feel guilty, blame ourselves, we find that we cannot function normally, even though we have confessed our sins to God, I think it's an indication that we haven't really dealt with the issue with ourselves. We just let it sit there. It means that we're still hanging on. Still hanging on, even though God has freely forgiven us. In John, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, we must take this promise and forgive others, which is precisely what God wants us to do. Then we are free to forgive others, which leads to forgiveness does involve others. In fact, in Matthew 6:14 through 15, it says, for if you forgive someone when they have sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So, if we do not forgive others, we find here that we will not enjoy the forgiveness of God. Failing to forgive others hinders our fellowship, puts a roadblock in the way. And that's too high a price to pay to hang on to unforgiveness. If we do not forgive, our fellowship with God is going to be hindered. It's going to be tough. And probably we're missing many of the blessings that God has in store for us. We're not to withhold forgiveness from others. We're to give it freely. And as I close, remember, we'll not experience peace with God and the joy of God if we're not willing to extend forgiveness to others. So I got some thoughts as I close, three of them that I want to leave with you today. First, the debts we owe each other are small compared to the infinite debt we owe to God. Because if we have been forgiven a huge debt, it is wrong to even consider withholding forgiveness from others who seek it from us. We must manifest the kind of love that is willing to forgive those who wronged us. And if you really look at forgiveness, that means that someone who's offended you almost sounds like you're the one that's to go. Second, forgiveness is a two-way street leading to the restoration of fellowship. It requires someone who is willing to forgive and someone who's wanting to be forgiven. If you are to forgive me, I must be open to forgiveness. Must be open to it. Otherwise, there'll be no restoration of fellowship. And I know there's going to be people that even though you're going to go to them and ask for forgiveness, they won't accept it. And third, we must never suppose that our standard of forgiveness is higher than God's standard. Yes, it's important for us to forgive each other, but it's even more important for us to ask God to forgive us of our sins against Him. Forgiveness, a big topic, something we all deal with every day, even myself. I'd like to close with that hymn, Freely, Freely. And then we'll close in prayer. Let's stand, shall we, as we sing.